Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here. Nice to have a chance just to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving this morning. Sure do appreciate the songs that Frank chose for us to sing together just a few moments ago. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards wrote a song that the Rolling Stones would record in about 1965. Now, if you're getting a little old, you probably are going back in your mind and saying, that's about 50 years ago. And in many ways, this song still is somewhat relevant in terms of pinpointing a bit of the chronic emotional disease that has affected us in the Western culture. Dissatisfaction in a land of plenty. The song main lines went, I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. Because I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no. It's amazing that with those kind of powerful lyrics, this song would be still around, right? There's just not much there. When I'm driving, not even driving, when I'm driving in my car and the man comes on the radio, he's telling me more and more about some useless information supposed to fire my imagination. Like to begin with Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. So if you have your Bibles handy, turn with me to Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. My opening text this morning really will come just from a snippet out of verse 21. If you look at verse 21, you'll see the little phrase, nor give thanks to him. It's really just a little snippet, isn't it? But it really is a telling little tiny chunk of a verse that talks about the attitude of the people of the Apostle Paul's day. And really, I think of this day as well. It's a telling snippet, and we should remind ourselves daily of this attitude, nor gave thanks to him. We should resolve to memorize that phrase, because I think it actually is something that we need to filter all the events in our lives through. Are we getting like that? Nor gave thanks to him. If you read through the rest of this passage, you'd see that this seems to be the beginning of a number of problems. Charles Spurgeon was a famous and influential Baptist preacher and author in 18th century England. He often spoke to crowds, and the crowds would number sometimes up to 10,000 people. He spoke in the days before amplification, just good acoustics and a strong voice. His Sunday sermons were transcribed from his notes, but also from his spoken sermons, and many were reprinted in the weekly newspapers. During his lifetime, Spurgeon saw many souls won to Jesus Christ. This is what Mr. Spurgeon has to say on the unthankful man. It's a little bit of a longer quote than I usually would use, but this is what he had to say about the unthankful man. I cannot say anything much worse of a man than that he is not thankful to those who have been his benefactors. And when you say that he is not thankful to God, you have said about the worst thing that you could say about him. Why, look at some of you. You have never missed a meal in your lives. When you went to the table, there's always something on it. You never had to lose a night's sleep for want of a bed. Some of you from your childhood have had all that your heart could wish. If God has treated you so, while many are crushed with poverty, should he not also have some gratitude from you? You had a good mother. You had a tender father. You have gone from one form of relationship to another with increasing comfort. You are spared. Your mother is spared. Your wife and your children are spared. Indeed, God has made your path very smooth. Some of you are getting on in business while other men are failing. Some of you have had every comfort at home while others have been widowed and their children have fallen one after another. Will you never be grateful? Hard heart, will you never break? Will any mercy bend thee? I do appeal to some here whose path has been so full of mercies that they ought to think of God and turn to him with sincere repentance and faith. But one says, I have had good luck. I have had good luck. What can be worse than that? Here's unthankfulness to God indeed. When you ascribe good gifts to good luck. Well, you know, another might say, I have been a very hard-working man. I know you have been. But who gave you this strength for your work? Someone else might say, I have a good supply of brains while others do not. Did you make your own brains? Do you not feel that any man who talks about his own wisdom and his own wit writes fool across his forehead in capital letters? We owe everything to God. Shall we not give God nothing? Shall we have no gratitude to him from whom all of our blessings come? So that's the end of the Spurgeon quote that I'll use. As I began to prepare this talk, my mind was drawn toward wanting to remind us that we all ought to have hearts and attitudes that reflect gratefulness. I believe that's the direction that the Lord's laid upon my heart for this Thanksgiving Day. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Father, we would just give you thanks this morning that we can open your word. Father, we give you thanks this morning that we have the freedom to do so in this country. Father, we've just read from Mr. Spurgeon from years ago, and so many of those things that he mentions we can see in our own selves. We're often ungrateful for the many blessings you've given to us, and we'll attribute it to just being chance or having a strong back or good luck. Father, we know that you are the giver of all good things. Father, we repent for often not giving you the praise and the worship that you are truly due. Be with us this day, Father. Just help us as we open your word just to take it in, to think about ourselves, to consider where we stand sometimes in relationship to you. And Father, may your word touch our hearts. May you break sometimes these hard hearts that we do get. And Father, just change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last year, our brother George Bodie spoke on Thanksgiving weekend, and he began by reminding us of the people of the United Kingdom hundreds of years ago giving thanks to God on a regular basis. He also reminded us as well of stories I had never actually heard of until I checked them out as well, of the Arctic explorer Martin Frobisher giving thanks with his whole crew for the safe arrival to Baffin Island. A lot of people wouldn't be thankful for landing on Baffin Island, but he was. He reminded us all at last year's talk, as the talk progressed, of the ease with which we give thanks when things are going really well. The road lies ahead of us, it's very smooth. And the days are enjoyable, things are going terrific. But how much harder it is to be thankful for when those days of health and wealth are in jeopardy. In many ways, I'm approaching the same notion of thankfulness that George did last year. However, I believe that unthankfulness is the natural man's, the unbelieving man, the ungrateful man's starting point. Unthankfulness. And how we have to be aware and to resist where unthankfulness will seem to lead us. As both our text in Romans 1 and as Mr. Spurgeon reminded us and reminded his own audience, he doesn't want us to be a fool. Paul did not want us to be a fool. That was the last bit of the phrase that we read. To not be unthankful, ungratefulness, again, seems to be the natural man's default position. While a true follower of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sin on Calvary's tree, should have a new mind. We should have a new attitude. And we have very much to be thankful for. So mankind, apart from Christ living in us, is ungrateful, unthankful. We might not be originally, but over time we stop counting our blessings and forgetting about them. I think the scriptures actually confirm this. The natural man struggles mightily with being grateful. Proverbs 27:20, and you don't have to turn to it, says, hell and destruction are never full, okay? So the eyes of man are never satisfied. So in their I Can't Get No Satisfaction song that Mick Jagger and Keith Richards penned, they were kind of right. The eyes of man are never satisfied. I'm convinced that if we spent time in our passage in Romans today, if we considered the entirety of the passage, we would see that if we choose to be dissatisfied with our blessings and if we do not give thanks to God for them, it seems to serve as a springboard for letting sinful thoughts in. Dissatisfaction with what you have, those great blessings that you and I have all received, perhaps having the sense that maybe my needs are not being met in my marriage, or maybe I'm not being appreciated enough at my work. These kind of things can lead to some awful choices, some devastating wrongs done to other people, and often terrible consequences. I think Thanksgiving is about having, as we've all heard before, an attitude of gratitude, a view of our world where we choose to not forget his blessings, that the blessings that have been showered upon us, when we realize that many of the things that others are praying for, other people are praying for these things, and we already have received those things. Aren't we blessed when you think someone else is praying, just praying to God to have some of the things that you have in your own life? We've read Psalm 103 earlier today, if you were at the Lord's Supper, and I'd like just to turn to part of it as well again. So Psalm 103, if you have your Bibles with you still, and if you have your Bibles with you, you might also want to just keep your finger in on Psalm 103. Our brother George Gustafson had read the entire passage. I'm just going to read the first six verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. It's a wonderful psalm. It's well worth reading all of it. I think the best way to live is to begin with a heart of praise, being thankful to God for the benefits that he has given to you. We are told in this psalm to forget not all his benefits. You would think that would be impossible. You would think that if you have received something terrific, that you would never forget over time how blessed you are. But perhaps like Mr. Spurgeon reminded us, maybe you started to attribute that blessing to good luck, to a strong back, or better than average brains. Don't forget where your blessings have come from. Perhaps you need to list them all, like the song we used to sing when we were a lot younger. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Consider that the psalmist, King David, begins to identify what that thankfulness should be caused by. And the very first specific thing that he lists, he's got about 16 things he lists out here. He begins with being thankful for the forgiveness of sin. Who forgives all your sins, as verse 3 says? Now, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, then you know that he bore your sin on the cross of Calvary when he died there so many years ago. That's the first thing that we should be thankful for. Thankfulness starts there. Now, years ago, a hymn writer with the very fortunate name of Samuel Medley, which is a wonderful name for a hymn writer, wrote, "Now in a song of grateful praise to my dear Lord, my voice I'll raise with all the saints, all joined to tell that Jesus has done all things well. All worlds his glorious power confess, his wisdom all his works express, but oh, his love, what tongue can tell, my Jesus has done all things well. How sovereign, merciful, and free has been his love to sinful me. He plucked me from the jaws of hell. My Jesus has done all things well." So let's just stop here for a second. Let's just tell the Lord how thankful we are that he has forgiven all, underline all, of our sin. Not just the big ones, not just the bad ones, all of our sin. Our Father, we give you thanks this morning for just the forgiveness of sin that we have received. We have a blessing that you have given to us freely, a blessing that changes who we are and what we are. Father, forgiveness between two people is very important, but forgiveness given to us from you, you who are perfect, holy, righteous in all your ways, who knows everything about us. Father, we just give you thanks that you have chosen to forgive us and to make the way for that forgiveness to be obtained. David goes on, and this is in verse 3 now in our passage, and he claims that God heals all your diseases. God heals all your diseases. And you and I know that there are many people who love the Lord dearly with all their hearts, and yet they still suffer disease. We might ask at this Thanksgiving, where is this healing of all of our disease? There are many ill people at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ in Judea who needed Jesus to heal them. And even today, we have plagues and we have diseases. We have things that are scaring the world, like Ebola. And where is this promised healing? God does have the power to heal all disease. He has conquered, he has risen victorious, and has defeated the greatest disease, sin. And I think David is looking forward to that future day with the establishment of God's kingdom, when God reigns on this earth and sees disease permanently eradicated from mankind's existence. So today, if you are suffering from some disease, it would be hard. It would be very hard to be thankful for the presence of that condition in your life. Yet God can give us peace to allow us and our families to deal with hope and with acceptance and patience of even these most awful trials. So let's just give thanks now for that. Let's give thanks to the Lord as the God of healing. Father, we do give you thanks again for working healing in our lives. You have chosen us and you have healed us from many, many of the things that affect us. But we give you especially thanksgiving this morning, Father, for healing us from sin and the effect and control that sin has had upon our lives. Many of us have been healed, though, Father, in many different ways through the knowledge of physicians or the medications that we have been able to take. And Father, we give you thanks for those types of healings as well. And yet, Father, we do truly look forward to a future day when you will reign victorious on this earth. We look forward to your kingdom being established. And we give you thanks now, Father, again, in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist continues in verse 4 with, Who redeems your life from the pit? Now, we don't often think about the word redemption. It means to pay for something. If you go to redeem a jug of milk, if I want to set it free from the grocery shelf, I'm going to redeem that jug of milk. It's now free. It has to cost me something. It wasn't free. The psalmist, in his top three reasons to be thankful after forgiveness of sin and health of mind and health of body and spirit, says that we should be thankful for what we have been purchased from. He loved me before I knew him. And in his sovereign choice, he has saved me from the pit of hell, the second death, the place where all mankind is marching toward. King David long ago had that same confidence that he was redeemed, that he was bought from the pit. And we can rest in that assurance as well if we have placed our faith in Christ Jesus as our Lord. Have you ever thanked the Lord for redeeming you from the pit? From the pit of hell. Let's just do that this morning as well. Father, again, we do need to thank you for this horrible end that we have been saved from. Father, we were moving towards an eternity away from you, an eternity that would have plunged us in the abyss into Hades. And Father, we just give you thanks that you have chosen to redeem us, that you have plucked us as a brand from hell, as one hymn writer wrote. Father, we just give you thanks. Father, it's nothing we could have done on our own. We couldn't redeem ourselves. We couldn't have pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps to save ourselves from the abyss. But you chose us, and we give you our thanks, and we give you our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. This Thanksgiving, do you feel crowned with love and compassion? Do you feel crowned with love and compassion? You are, actually. God has crowned you with love and compassion. It's incredible, isn't it? Often we think of being crowned as being a thing that we read about in Revelation. We see ourselves in God's eyes because God's word tells us that we are kings and priests to kings and priests of his in Revelation chapter 1:6. But do you actually get that sense that God has crowned you with love and compassion? It's hard to believe, isn't it? You have received royal treatment. You have received royal treatment, and we forever are encircled about with God's love and God's compassion. To me, it would seem that we are kind of wrapped up in his arms and God has wrapped his arms around us as his own little children. And we are loved. And we can lay like David in God's embrace. Father, we are recipients again of your love and your compassion. You have chosen us as your own little children. And you have shielded us and cared for us and watched over us as a parent would with their own children. Father, we just give you thanks this morning. We often don't sometimes even think that we're loved. Father, you loved us. You sent your son to die for us, take our place on the cross of Calvary. You have gone with us throughout our lives and have cared for us. And Father, we just give you thanks today that again, you have given us love and compassion. You just have a heart of mercy towards us, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 5 has a view that often people don't really think about very much. We have the opinion in the world that God is holding back good things from us. That's not what verse 5 says. He is viewed as being a God by the world. This is the view of the world as being a God who always says no. And so people have to grasp and they have to claw for everything using their own strength and their own abilities. Verse 5 in our psalm says that we are satisfied. That is, we get satisfaction. Sorry, Mick Jagger. We get satisfaction with the good things that God provides for us. It says, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's? God knows us. God understands what we are praying for. He realizes that we have desires for different things. And he is willing to meet our desires with good things. Father, we give you thanks for wanting to meet our desire for good things. We know that our desires will change, Father. Father, I prayed for certain things when I was 18. That I'm so glad that you chose not to give to me. Father, I prayed for things when I was in my 30s, that again, I'm grateful and thankful that you have chosen to withhold. Father, even in the midst of giving me other great things that perhaps weren't even on my radar at that time that turned out to be life-changing and wonderful things. Father, we just give you thanks that you know best, that you are sovereign, that you are not constrained by time. And so sometimes those good things that we're praying for, Father, they might take a while. Just give us the ability to be patient, to rest in your care. We know that you love us. We know that you're compassionate. Just help us to be patient as well, Father, as we wait on you. Verse 6 in our psalm says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all of the oppressed. David perhaps was considering his own experience. He had been fleeing from Saul for so many years. Perhaps he was considering the experience of his forefathers of Israel leaving Egypt and how long that took. It took 400 years of enslavement waiting for God to act. 400 years. We live in a world today where we have unidentifiable terrorists of continually changing names act with brutality, and we call out often for justice. I want justice. I want justice now. God does act. God does work in perfect righteousness and in perfect justice. But he doesn't necessarily act in the ways or in the timing that I might have. Father, again, we give you thanks that you are sovereign and just over the affairs of man. Thank you that we can rest in your timing. Father, you know best. We thank you that you are righteous and just. Father, we see cruelty in our world so much today, and we sometimes want to just plead with you, Father, that this cruelty would end. And it starts with the injustice and the cruelty to the unborn, and it moves through to cruelty to innocent children and the exploitation of children and women and others, Father. We live in a sinful world and we do want justice, Father. We do seek righteousness as well. Father, just help us as well to understand your timing. And thank you again, Father, that you are righteous and just. In Jesus' name. Amen. We don't have time at all to complete this psalm. It's worth reading and praying through over the next few days. Thinking about all the blessings that you and I have received from God, thanking him for these blessings, and thanking him specifically for the blessings in your own lives. We are a blessed people. we have much to be thankful for. We need to be reminded, though, not to be ungrateful. Ungratefulness takes us places I don't think we want to go. It causes that dissatisfaction with your lot in life can lead to many problems in your own life and the lives of your family. Help us, Lord, we should be saying, help us, Lord, to count our blessings. Thank you, we should be saying to God, for caring for us. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, we do give you thanks this morning that we live in, again, in this great land. Father, we see many of the problems. And Father, we don't want to be blind to the problems. We don't want to be oblivious. And yet, Father, we do give you thanks for the blessings that we have received. We thank you for food on our tables. We thank you for families that love you and families as well that perhaps don't even know you, Father, but still seem to walk in accordance with the way that you would have them walk. Father, we would just ask that you would just again be with us this day. Be with many in our assembly who are traveling and going about other things this weekend. May your hand be upon them. May you be close to them. Father, help us to see the ungratefulness that we often have in our own hearts. Father, it's a terrible thing. We show ungratefulness to our spouses. Father, we show ungratefulness to our employers. We show ungratefulness to people who are trying to serve us. We're ungrateful people often, Lord, and it just makes things so much worse. Help us, Father, to be thankful, and Father, that we would rejoice in you for all these things that you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.